Rabbi David Mandel, executive director of the Ohel Child and Family Services organization, recently shared the following story. He was once speaking to a group of teenage children, and he asked them if they could have one wish. What's the greatest thing they could ever dream of having? Think for yourself for a second. What might you wish for if you had one wish? Maybe it would be more money, a bigger house, not needing to work. One of the teens there, a 15-year-old girl, she stood up, took off her name tag, and holding it up, she said, "This is what I wish for." Rabbi Mandel looked at her, puzzled by her wish, but then she continued, "For the last 15 years, I've been in foster care, and every year or two I'd end up in a different home with a different last name. My dream is to be able to have a permanent last name." This week we begin Sefer Shmos, the book of names. And from the beginning of the Parsha, where it lists the names of the 12 Shvatim, it's an understandable attribution and title for the Parsha. However, Rabbi David Stav, the chief rabbi of Shoham in Israel, points out something incredible about the continuation of the Parsha, something I'd never noticed before, but going through the Parsha this week saw again and again. And that is that almost every single time a person is mentioned in the Parsha, they're not referred to by their name. Sometimes it's a nickname, other times it's a pronoun, but almost never by their real name. Let me share a couple of examples with you that Rastav pointed out and others that I also noticed. The Torah tells us, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vaykach es bas Levi. A man went from the house of Levi and took a Levi daughter. Chazal tell us this is referring to Amram and Yocheved, who had separated because the decree of Paro to kill all baby boys. Why should we bring a child into this kind of a world? And their daughter Miriam convinces them that their decree is harsher than Paro's, for they were guaranteeing that no children would survive, while Paro only wanted to kill the boys. And from this reunion was born Moshe. Nonetheless, they're referred to by pronouns, not by name. The woman who finds baby Moshe in the Nile is Bas Paro, Paro's daughter, but it doesn't mention her name, and our rabbis tell us that this was Basya, that was actually her name. When Miriam's watching over baby Moshe in his basket in the Nile, and then speaks to Bas Paro, again, it just refers to her as Achoso, his sister. Vayetze bayom hasheni v'nei shnei anashim ivrim nitzim, vayomer l'rasha lama sakhe re'echa. He went out and he found two Jews fighting. Moshe went out and saw the two Jews fighting, and he said to the wicked one, "Why do you strike your fellow?" And again, it doesn't mention who it is, but we know from Chazal that it's referring to Dasan and Aviram fighting, but here it just mentions them nameless. The Jewish midwives were Yocheved and Miriam, yet the Torah calls them by another name, Shifra and Puah. Moshe's father-in-law Yisro is first referred to as Reuel before being called Yisro a few psukim later. Now you might say, well, what about Paro, king of Mitzrayim, and Moshe? They're people called by their name. However, once again, these were not their real names. Paro was the name that every king of Mitzrayim had, a generic term. We don't know his real name, although researchers think it might have been Ramses. And the name Moshe, although it's the name that we refer to him throughout the Torah, again and again and again, but our rabbis tell us in the Midrash, in Vayikra Rabbah, and also the Gemara and Megillah, that Moshe's real name, his Jewish name, the one given to him at birth, there were at least 10 different possibilities, including Avigdor, Tuvia, Yekutiel, but not Moshe. Even Hashem uses a nickname. When asked by Moshe what his name is, Hashem says, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, not Yudke Vavke, not Elohim. After the initial list of the Shvatim, there are only three people whose real names are mentioned the very first time we're introduced to them in the Parsha. You want to guess who it is? Think about it. That's right. Tzipora, Moshe's wife, Gershom, Moshe's first son, and Aaron, Moshe's brother. Why is it that almost no one in the Parsha is referred to by their real name? And what's unique about these three, Tzipora, Gershom, and Aaron, that they're mentioned with their name? Rav Stav explained, Hashem was trying to paint the feelings at the time of the slavery in Egypt, to make it palpable. The Jewish people were being persecuted and put down, made to feel like a nobody, a no-name. Lahavdil, they were just a number. That's why most people mentioned are nameless or without their real name. But this still doesn't explain why Tzipora, Gershom, and Aaron are listed with their real names. So I'd like to suggest that we need to look and understand who these three people are and what they represent. After Moshe grew up in Paro's house, away from his parents, away from his siblings, he was wanted for murder and he was on the run. When he married Tzipora, it not only gave him purpose, but also stability. For the first time in his life, it gave him a home that he could call his own. This is Tzipora's name tag. Then he has his first child, Gershom. This child represents the potential, the future, the purpose of our existence. Gershom's name tag is a continuation of his parents' legacy and name. Finally, we have Aaron, Moshe's brother. We very easily can misperceive the story in Parsha Shmos as taking place over a year or two. It seems like it's not so long. But many years passed from when the Jews were enslaved until Moshe comes bearing those tidings of redemption. How did the Jews not give up complete hope during this time? The Medrash tells us that over those many years, it was Aaron that continued to keep their spark of hope alive. It may have been a tiny flicker of faith, but Aaron kept it from extinguishing completely. Aaron's name tag represented their faith in the future. That's why these three present their real names, because they represent stability, a permanent existence, and a future. And that's what the girl in our original story desired more than anything in the world, all represented in her request for a name. Let me close with another story, a lesson that I learned from Rabbi Edward and Meira Davis, the Rabbi Emeritus at Young Israel of Hollywood in Florida. 13 years ago, I was eating lunch with them at Sarah's Place, famous kosher restaurant chain in southern Florida at the time. When the waiter came over to us, the first thing Rabbi Davis said was, "Hi, what's your name?" So let's pretend that the waiter's name was David. Rabbi Davis then proceeded to mention the waiter by name every single time that we spoke to him. "David, I'd like to order the quinoa salad. David, can you bring us some more water? David, the food is great. Can I get a few more napkins? David, can we get the bill?" As we said goodbye to the waiter, "Goodbye, David," I couldn't help but notice the huge smile and glow coming from David. Rabbi Davis taught me that calling the waiter by name elevates them from a nobody, a no-name servant, to a person with potential. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. While Shakespeare might not have validated the importance of one's name, Parsha Shmos teaches us our names represent so much more. Whether it be the waiter or the mailman, the gas station attendant, or the customer service phone rep, let us learn the lesson of Shmos, the value of a name, and how it can literally transform a person's behaviors and belief in themselves. And may the girl's wish be our wish, to have a name tag with permanence, a name tag with purpose, and a name tag with faith. Go write your name tag and make us all proud. Shabbat Shalom.